I know you're going through a fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. But even harder is the wondering. Is God's hand still on? But the potter knows the clay. How much pressure it can take. How many times around the wheel till there's sufficient to his will. He's planned a beautiful design. Friend, I just came through that fire not too very long ago. And looking back, I can see why. And that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I cried, but the potter knows the clay. How much pressure it can take. How many times around the wheel till there's sufficient to his will. He's planned a beautiful design.
Privilege to be in the house of the Lord with you.
Amen.
I can't fill the shoes of Brother Ben Norrod, but I can fill the shoes of Brother Daniel Black. So that's the ones I want to concentrate on.
Amen.
Amen. Really thank the Lord for this opportunity. I've had a real burning on my heart this week. That's something to speak on, and I've never asked anyone to let me speak. I just pray about it, and Brother Tony texted me this week, or called me this week, and he asked me, he said, Brother Daniel, I just want to know if you want to go ahead and take the service. I said, well, that's an answer to prayer. So the Lord really knew what was on my heart. So I'm just going to take these things before the Lord. But we're going to speak to you this morning on leadership. And we're going to go to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And chapter 8, verses 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Father. And I ask you to take control of this service, Lord, and just have your way, Lord. And you know what's on my heart, God. I get myself completely out of the way and ask you to take control now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Just realized, I think I just told you the wrong scripture. I read the right scripture, but I told you the wrong scripture. Sorry about that. It's in there. I'll show you.
Romans 12.
Brother Branham said, and a day that we're living in is a great matching time. Do you believe that? It says, paint your steps red and watch all the neighbors get theirs red right away. A matching time. Everybody wants to impersonate somebody else. Match. I always said, I didn't care whether my shoes match the trousers of my shirt or match my coat. I want my experience to match God's Bible. When he said, you must be born again and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he said, that's what I want. Amen. Amen. You say, man, you don't matter how good I look on the outside, I want the inside to be right. I want to look like the Lord. And I just got one more quick quote. It says, what they try to do is substitutionary something. They try to adopt some new plan. They try to adopt, educate, to take the place of the Holy Ghost. You'll never be able to do it, no matter how well your man is educated. I think a good thing for him to be educated, but he hasn't got the Holy Spirit with that. His education will do him no good. Education will never take the place of leadership of the Holy Ghost. You know, we have a lot of things in this life that will try to take the place of leadership of the Holy Ghost. And whether it be parenting, you've got Dr. So-and-so or this doctor, all of these guys will teach you how to raise your children. They'll say, this is what you've got to do to raise your children. You have to give them time out. You have to do these things. You have to do a certain things, and this is real parenting because spanking is unacceptable today.
Right.
That's what parenting over the radio will tell you. Parenting over the books and philosophy, they'll tell you that, you know, if you take them behind the tool shed, you will abuse that child. They'll be scarred for life. I thank God for every one of them. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Because you know what? That's one of the best resets. That we were at work the other day, and yesterday, as a matter of fact, and this little boy, he's probably 6 or 7 years old, and he would literally throw himself in the floor and throw a big fit and everything. And the parents would say, well, we don't believe in spanking. I see that.
That's right.
I see that you don't.
That's right.
But you know what? That's one of the best resets we could ever have. You ever have a young man in the floor, throw himself on the floor? I remember my children tried that at one time, and it didn't last very long.
Yep.
You know what? Because daddy's got a strong hand. Mama's got a strong hand, and it's called the reset button. You know, when they begin to throw that fit in the floor, you gotta do that one time. I'm telling you what, they're going to remember, that stove's hot. I don't want to touch that anymore.
Yeah,
amen.
Right, yeah.
But in parenting, they've got a lot of things, and they'll teach you this is the correct way to do things. And even in your finances, which some of it's good, because I believe we do need to be trained in our finances, because a lot of people just don't know how to manage money. That's very true. But you know, something greater than just having the intellectual part is being led by the Spirit. Amen. I believe God will lead you how to parent your children. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God will lead you how to do your financing. God will lead you in these things. And even it goes into pastoral work and different things. They have books. If you go to the Bible bookstore of How to Be a Pastor, Volume 1. And you read through here, and this has been handed down. And it even gives you the little sermonettes you've got to read, Volume 1, Volume 2. What we need is leadership from the Holy Ghost. Amen.
That's right.
Leadership. They talk about and even being taught. They'll teach you how to overcome pornography. Teach you how to overcome smoking. Teach you how to do these things. And what it does, it teaches you how to put that little thing in a cage and keep it alive, but you just know how to control it. But brothers and sisters, God ain't told us to cage that thing. He told us how to have deliverance. Amen. deliverance from those things. Not just for you know how to control it, but God can deliver you from it. Amen. You know, the things that we have, God had called us to cage our problems that we have, but we can get deliverance.
Amen.
I'm talking about not having just a form of godliness and denying the power of, but I'm talking about having true Holy Ghost power.
Right.
So you have lots of things to teach you to learn by your own intellectual thinking, but God has called us to be led by the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Graham says, how that God dwells in nature, His universe, how He makes the big hills, the little hills. I have noticed, oh hell, He's the God of variety. He makes white flowers, blue flowers, red flowers. He makes little men, big men, black-headed, red-headed, blonde-headed, light-headed, dark people, brown people, black people.
Right.
He's the God of variety. He's not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony house. He's absolutely a God of variety, and I'm glad that He is. Now listen to this. He said, He's in His nature, His universe. How He makes every star to move to its perfection. Everything in the heavens will move at His command, but the man that He made in His image will turn his back and say, I don't believe it. That's the difference. That's the reason we're in the condition we are, because ducks know their leaders, but we don't know our leader. Ain't that something, how a duck will have one leader among him, and he'll begin to quack, 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 and they'll follow that duck because there's a God-given instinct on them that says, that's what I need to follow.
Right.
They have enough common sense to follow leadership, but man, God will put leadership down, of the Holy Ghost down, and people say, I don't believe that. I don't have to follow that because I have all this education and scientifics where I can prove what I need to do. But God has called us to be led by the Spirit, amen. And you know, and if you look down, and I want to talk about a couple of people in the Bible. If you look at Cain and Abel, they, without a doubt, watched their father, Adam. I'm going to call him father because he was like a stepfather. We know who Cain's real father was. But they watched him till the ground. They watched him take care of the things around the house. They watched him do these things. And they watched, without a doubt, Cain observed the muscles of his dad. He began to observe the tomatoes and the pine. I say in dad because that's what he would have called him. I believe it's not his father also, 100%. But he watched them, and he would see Adam till the ground, and he would watch the muscles on him, and that's what he caught. He would watch him do the tomatoes and the pumpkins, and that's what he caught. But Abel seen something else. They were watching the exact same leadership, under the same leadership, and one got the revelation and one didn't. One got the carnality of it, and he said, you know what? That's what God's going to want, is this outward appearance. I think it's good for children to look up to their fathers. I think it's good to see them. You say, you know what? My dad's got big muscles, or my dad's got that. Those things are great, but don't be caught up on those things, because that's not what your dad really wants you to see. Your dad wants you to see the faith that he believes in, amen. And that is where Cain missed it. Cain looked to the muscle, he looked to the tomatoes, he looked to the things of the carnal flesh. But his brother Abel caught something different. He caught the revelation that his dad was wanting to present. Listen to me, young people. As a young man, you want strength, you want muscles. I know what you're saying. You have that hunger on the inside. You're a young man, you've got that adrenaline pumping like a little engine. Brother Ben was talking about, dum, 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 dum. You feel the veins pumping out of your arms, and you're like, you know what, I'm ready to work out. I'm ready to do this thing. You're like a little turbo engine. I always tell Dylan he's my little monster. He's just ready to go. Ben, he's just as broad as a barn, ready to go. But you know, you've got this something on the inside. It makes you really want to work out and do those things. And when you look at your father, you can see things like that. Like, I want to be like that. But don't miss what Father really wants you to see. He wants you to see the faith that he believes in. Because that's the thing that really matters to him. Amen?
That's right.
And during the time of that sacrifice, it was the true leadership that helped him out. Amen. And I want to talk to you about another couple. It was Abram and Lot. Abram was going through his daily walk, and he was living his life when God called him out of nowhere and says, I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to do these things for you, Adam. Abram, I want you to follow me, but you get away from all your kindred, all of your tongue. You leave them because I'm going to show you something. What's the first thing you've done? He took Lot with him. I want you to see something. Whenever he took Lot with him, Abram was in leadership. Do you believe that?
Right.
Abram was the one in leadership. And obviously, Lot did not follow that leadership. And I'll tell you why. His
Lot's herdsmen began to have problems with Abram's herdsmen. Why is that? There was a division in headship. Abram had leadership, and he was showing his he would show them. I can imagine his herdsmen would only listen and say, "Abram, have you heard from God today? Have you heard from him today?" They were faithful to Abraham. But Lot on the other side, Lot had his own leadership. And his herdsmen began to cause problems with Abram's herdsmen. And God told them, and Abram said, he was a humble man. You know, he could have said, "You know what? I've been packing you for however many years, Lot. I'm taking the better side. You take what's left. I've been giving you the beans. I've been giving you the taters. I've been teaching you how to be a herdsman. I've been teaching you how to be a shepherd. I've been showing you all these things. I'm taking the better side." But did he do that? No. He said, "You take what side you want. I'll take the other." And if you look at the scripture, what it says that Lot looked up the two sides. He seen the green grass, the plenteous water. He says, "That's what I'll go for." Now you think about this. Lot wanted the green grass and the water. Why would he want that? If you're a shepherd, why would you want green grass and water? So you can feed your sheep. Is that right? That's why you'd want that. But the scripture says he went to the city. He didn't even go to the plain. He didn't even go to the fields to feed his sheep. He didn't even go there to take care of them. He went to the city of Sodom and set his tent right towards Sodom and focused on Sodom. See, he could have been a true shepherd to his people. But instead, he went right into the city and his people followed him. Because he didn't follow the right leadership. Not only did he go in error, everybody that was with him went in error also. If you look at the scriptures, it says that Abram, the first thing he did, he built an altar. He built an altar before the Lord and said, "God, I'm here. I want to seek you." Brothers and sisters, that's the leadership we need to get under, amen? Where we're seeking, where we can build an altar. I'm not talking about getting some stones or wood and going out and building an actual deal. I guess that'd be fine if you really want to. But the real altar is right here in our hearts, where you've got an altar built before the Lord and you can seek God and say, "God, I'm here. Speak to me." God has called us to be led, amen? Brother Branham said, "Some of you are plumbers, some of you are carpenters, some this, some that, or the other. You rub arms with the world each day when you're out there. But when you see those things and great temptations rise, just remember this little sacred places where you're sitting together with the only things last. Your jobs will fail one of these days. Your health will fail. Even your life here on earth will fail. But then that won't. If he is the center of all things, then he'll keep your minds in the center of your post." God has called us to renew our mind, amen? Yeah. And that's one of these greatest times of coming here where we have these fellowships together, because we can all get in one mind and one accord and kind of rest our mind from all the cares of this life. We're fighting devils every day in the battles that we fight. But whenever we're going through those temptations and those trials and it seems like your dollar's going a little short, just remember that, you know what? I've got a promise. Amen. Sometimes it may look like the hours may get cut. Sometimes it may look like the car sales are going low. Sometimes it may look like Walmart for some crazy way. It may look like it may go under. But you know what? I ain't worried about those things because I'm focused on the right thing. Brother M said, to be transformed is to be changed and made something different. Like a tadpole, it's transformed from a tadpole to a frog. See, once he looked like a catfish, he swims around, he's got a head and his tail, and everything looks just like a catfish. Then after a while, he begins to lose his tail, and he's transformed from one species to another. I think that's what Paul may have had in mind when he said, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed," you know what conformed is, conformed is to the world, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Now, we want to transform ourselves by the renewing of our minds. See, not what we have on this earth, what we're going to from this earth. That's what we're going to be coming to. And of all these that I've talking about, they were conformed to the world. Lot had an ability to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost, but rather than following the leadership of Abram, he fell back. He got conformed to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
And not only did he fall, his children fell to the same thing. And brothers and sisters, I know the devil really fought at the end of the service trying to block everyone's minds, trying to pull everyone's mind together. God has really called us to where we need some Holy Spirit leadership. Where we can know I'm being led by the Lord. Okay. Because you know what? The one thing that we need to know more than anything is, am I in the will of God? Okay. Am I really where I need to be? Yes. Because when you know that you are in the perfect will of God, you can plant your feet and say, you know what, come what may, but I know where I'm at. I know where I'm standing. But you know what? That's the thing the devil wants to fight more than anything is say, are you really being led by the Lord? I mean, are you really in the message? I mean, are you in it? I mean, are you really the message? That's what the devil wants to fight you in your mind. It makes you think those things. But see, you need to be able to see who you are. Right. And we were talking about those flowers a while ago. I can imagine looking at a pond. I used to sit out and fish all the time. We'd have a can of worms and we'd sit there on the bank. You talk about good times. You know, we didn't have the video games and different things like that. We had an old fishing pole that the reel was broke off, so we used it as a cane pole. And we'd tie a line off the end of that fishing pole, and we'd get a little hooks on there. We'd put a little worm on there. We'd throw it out in the water. And I'm telling you what, that's good times right there. You say amen? Amen. How many has actually sat down on a creek bank and caught fish? Oh, my goodness. Y'all been deprived. We'd sit there on that bank all day long. We'd catch those fish. And just relaxing. And you know, whenever you were out there, such a peace about it. Because you could just lay back on the bank and you could feel the grass blowing. And you know, you'd hear the wind blowing. And you'd hear the birds chirping. And you'd hear the fish flop. And he'd say, you know, I got to get up because he's biting over there. And you'd jump over there and you know he ain't biting no more nothing. He's just flopping. You'd go over there and we'd be chasing that pond. But you know, when you're out in nature like that, it's so easy to listen to God. Amen. It's so easy to let God just talk to you and you can kind of relax. But the devil's tried so hard to make a Satan's Eden today where you're bombarded all the time with cares of this life.
That's right.
You're bombarded all the time as I better hang on to my phone because I might miss a text message or I might miss this or I might miss that, the latest update. And you know, sometimes you go and you forget their phone on the table. The devil will try so hard to eat at you the whole time you're gone. How many texts have I missed? How many phone calls have I missed? Right. It's like a hook that's inside you. And you know, the reason those are is the devil wants to bombard you. And he wants to squeeze you so tight where that's all you think about. But you know, I remember I used to lay on that bank and I'd catch those fish and everything. And I remember I would listen and I would look over and I seen this old flower. And it was laying there, this little lily. And it was hanging over the pond where I was sitting at. And I remember I began to lay back and I would look at this flower. It was going. And I would think to myself, I wonder if that flower knows what it looks like. I remember I was just a little boy. And I mean, I would look at that and I'd think to myself, I wonder if that flower really knows who he is. Because I would lay there and I'd have my hands behind my back. I think, I wonder what I want to be when I grow up. What do I want to do with my life? And I'd look at that flower and I'd see him twirling in the wind. And I think to myself, does he know who he wants to be? And I can imagine that old flower would go over there and he would look at the water for a second and he'd say, boy, that's a pretty looking thing, whatever that was. And the wind would blow a little harder and he'd look and one day the old flower looks at that's me. He's seen himself. You know, that's one of the ways it is with us a lot of times. I remember whenever I would come to services and I'd feel that power of that Holy Ghost coming through and I think, wow, that's beautiful. Well, that's an amazing experience. And I was seeing my own reflection at that time and didn't even realize that. See, what it is, we have to come to a point where we know who we are. And we know where we're standing. Brother Branham talked about a guide. And he said, whenever you go to certain places, you need a guide. And when you go to these places for the guide, you have to give them your social security number. You give them your driver's license. You give them all these things. And that guide is responsible for you. And if anything happens to you while you're on that trip, that God is responsible. You give your complete identity to Him. And that's the way it is with the Holy Ghost. Whenever we truly give everything to God, we give our whole identity to Him. You give our finances to Him. We give our parenting to Him. We give everything to Him. When we do those things, friends, God's responsible for us. He's responsible for us. And we don't have to worry about those things. A lot of times we tend to worry about things we don't have to worry about. Brother Branham said, so God, this great, His own kingdom that it was, He will have a simulation, but it'll not be anything like this. It won't be like science. It'll be a faith civilization by the Word, see? The scientific simulation we have is exactly Satan's trap, and that's what he has killed the people with. That's what he's killing us with every day with. Now, as we eat each day, instead of living, we die. We have perverted everything. So even just as much as this is, it mixes with us, the hybrid that it is, and it's all dying. It's a dying race, and no matter what we try to do, you die. You see that picture last night of those Africans? You know why? That penicillin? Them people live longer than we do. They don't even know. Germs don't bother them. Why, germ would throw up his hands and say, "I surrender to them." Because he don't, they don't. Why? They haven't all been, science has figured it out, like penicillin or something like that. Now, any of you people come from farms, anyone knows good, healthy plant never needs to be sprayed. And it's got a repellent on itself of a germ that won't get on it. Amen? A healthy plant. What Brother Rem's talking about is how in Africa, they can go and eat this stuff that we had to kill us. But they can eat it and it won't bother them one bit because they're built for it. And he's talking about how the plants over there, they don't have much water at all, but there's something on the inside of them that will overcome and it can survive. It's an overcomer. You know, if you go there and in some place you dig in the ground, you won't find water for a long time the more you dig down, but something on the inside of that plant keeps it alive. But you take a hotbed plant that you've got here at the stores, it'll die in an instant. Amen? You've got to stay on top of that thing. If you put too much water on it, it'll die. If you give it too much less water, it'll die. You've got to sit there and pamper the whole time.
That's right.
Because it has no overcoming power at all inside of it. We bought tomato plants. We put them things out year after year, and them things are the biggest babies I've ever seen. If you've got to put them exactly in the right temperature, or you won't get an amen. You've got to put them in the right temperature, or you know you won't get no hallelujahs. I'm not singing today. Not everybody here.
Right.
It's a hotbed plant.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? I'm gonna tell you something. Brother Tony's got some good stuff. Those little tomatoes he getting. I never could remember the name of them tomatoes, and I'd always tell Vicky how delicious they are. And I finally have asked Brother Tony. I said, "Brother Tony, what is the name of those tomatoes?" It's delicious tomatoes. I've been saying it all the time. I've been telling everybody, he's got the most delicious tomatoes. What's the name of them? I don't know. Ask him, delicious tomatoes. But you know what? You can take a good tomato plant, and that thing will reproduce over and over again because it's got something real on the inside.
Right.
And you know, I must talk about the hotbed plant. You know, you got some people that are, if they don't have a full house in the church, full people in there, they don't feel like they have a full service.
Right.
You know, they don't have all the most musicians. They don't have the Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit can't be here. Because if Holy Spirit was here, they'd be packed. Preach the gospel, one tab on the street corner, see how many people come to it.
That's right.
It's slim pickings. Right. Brothers and sisters, what I'm saying is I would rather have a small crowd and be led by the Holy Ghost than to have a huge crowd plumb full and we'd be dead as doorknobs.
That's right.
Amen? We may be small in number, but you ask yourself and you be honest with yourself, do we have the goods? And I can say, amen.
Amen.
You know, I know for myself, whenever I come, sometimes that preacher get up there and say stuff, where in the world did he come up with that from? And then later on down the week, he's like, you know what? That's exactly right. It's the Word. That's why. We have the real Word. And that's what I want our young people to see more than anything. Don't be caught up when you go to the camps and you see those things. You see the great numbers. You see all the worship, all those things. Don't think you're missing something from a big church. Don't be wrong. There's a lot more fellowship. But we've got the same God right here. Amen.
Amen.
We got the same God, the same impact. And the thing is, the difference is, you're going to have a little bit more muscle than what they will, spiritually. The reason is, when you go to a big service, you've got a lot of people up there, you can barely sing or don't sing at all, and people won't ever notice it. But I'm going to tell you what, when you've got 12, 15 people in there, you quit singing and everyone's going to turn and look at you, what's up? You're more accountability. When you're a smaller service, everyone's more physically fit because we know, you know what, if we don't pull together in a church service, we're going to struggle.
Right.
We're in this boat, when we all paddle in the boat, I'm telling you what, we're going to have some good worship service.
Right.
We're going to have some good preaching. We're going to have all these good things. We can go right up current if we need to. And that's why when we go to a powerhouse service, they say, my Lord, what kind of service do y'all have at home? Come and see.
Yeah.
Why is it? Because we're used to, you know, when you go to service, you've got to put your shoulder to the plow and you've got to get things going, get that atmosphere created. Amen?
Yeah.
Leadership is what I'm talking about. Whenever we're seeking for leadership, no, young people, I'm going to tell you something. And I'm really speaking a lot to the young people I know. You know what my first job in the church was? I was the doorman. That was my job. And I'm telling you what, my wife can testify before I got that job. I seen where David said he was glad to go in the house of the Lord. I said, I just want to be a doorman.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds, how many of you have ever actually fasted and prayed want to be a doorman? As crazy as I was, that's what I wanted. And I would seek God, I would pray to God, I'd say, God, I want so bad. And the reason I did that is because I knew that the first person that could shake someone's hand when they come to service, they could change their attitude for the service. And when they come in, you could have a hello, God bless you, big old smile on your face, and you're going to make them smile no matter how mad they are. You know what the best thing you can do when someone's mad and they're just so frustrated? Smile. Like, hey, how you doing? God bless you. I've seen customers come in that were so mad from the service department. I was like, what are you doing? I walk right over there and I do my big old smile. Like, hey, how you doing? Oh, that service department, it's beautiful outside it. Oh, it is, ain't it? Yeah, it sure is. Come on here, let's go. And next thing you know, they're smiling again. How do I change that atmosphere? My smile. Amen. And I remember I thought to myself, that's why I want to be a doorman. And Brother Prater actually ended up asking me, he said, would you like to be the doorman of the church? I said, would I? Yes, I would. I got my position in the church as a doorman. And you know what? I would fast and I would pray before service for my position as a doorman. Sure would. I would be on the oil rigs. We'd be working. It'd be messy and everything else. They'd come out with hamburgers and everything. And they'd say, here, Daniel, how's yours? I said, I can't. I said, you preach? I said, I don't preach. He said, why can't you eat? He said, I'm the doorman. Doorman? What's there to be a doorman? It was my position. And I wanted to be the best I could be at it. Amen? And from there, I began to take up offerings. And as my position of taking up those offerings, you know what? I wanted to be the best offering taker you've ever seen. I wanted to walk just right. I wanted to have the right look. Not in a mental thing, but I'm thinking, what was coming up is Solomon's temple. There was such an order. Such an order of how they did things. They weren't sloppy about it. They weren't real fast about it. They weren't real slow about it. They were in harmony with service.
That's right.
And my position of taking up offering, I want to be the best offering taker you've ever seen. And I pray and I seek God to help me be the best. And you know what? God's blessing would come on that. And there'd be people that testify and say, you know what? I'd be in such a bad mood. You'd change my attitude for the service by shaking my hand. What am I saying this for? Let's be the best we can be. Amen. Let's seek God. If you're sitting in the pew and that's your position, I want you to be the best sitter in the pew that you could possibly be. When you come into the sanctuary, that's my duty. Anybody got a position as a professional pew sitter? I do. That's right. Amen. And I'm the best. Because I don't sleep. I don't let my mind wander. I meditate on the Lord. And when I come in here, I sit down in that chair and I meditate. And I say, oh God, I want to hear from you today. I want to hear from you. Speak to my heart, God. And I ask you to let that Holy Ghost discern, Lord. And when you do that, you are creating an atmosphere. Not even by moving their lips. By your meditation, you are inviting the Holy Ghost into the service. That's absolutely the truth. And when everybody does it, I'm telling you what, when everybody does that together and you're meditating, you're a professional pew sitter, you're not like one of them backslid guys that don't do nothing. You're truly, that's your position. You know, like, you know what? I'm going to be the best I can be. When you do that and you create an atmosphere, when that minister comes forth, he don't have to struggle at all. He goes right in there. Because that same anointing he's been dealing with, he'll go right into it and he'll go right into service. That's the truth. Leadership. How many pew sitters we got? Amen. We've got a few of them. You know, if you're playing the piano, or you're playing the guitar, or you're playing the drums, I want to be the best I can be, amen. I want to be able to say God's blessing on that. You want to be the best? I mean the best. When I say the best, I don't want you to mean, what's the best sounding guitar I've ever heard? Not like that. I'm talking about the best follower of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I want to be the best. I don't care about the sound. I want to be led by the Holy Ghost, amen. Because that's where the real blessing's at. You want to have the best finances? I didn't say the biggest finances, the best finances. Nobody?
Be faithful to God. Amen.
Amen.
Be faithful with your tithes, faithful with your offerings. And whether you're be a little kid mowing yards, or you're somebody that's working some big place, pay your tithes and pay your offerings. You want to see God increase your yards when you're mowing yards? Pay tithes and offerings. Is that right?
Yeah.
Did God say in the Scriptures, pay tithes and offerings whenever you become of age? And you once you get where you want to be and financially, and once you get all your bills paid, then pay tithes and offerings? Is that what God said? He says, where have you robbed me is in tithes and in offerings.
Right.
And I'm telling you what, when you're faithful, I don't care if you're mowing yards or if you're running a big business, when we're faithful with tithes and offerings, God will meet the needs.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
I'll give you a testimony real quick. If there was a time when Vicki and I, we had a choice of the many times we went through at one time of what bill do we want to pay. Do we want to pay the bills? Because if we pay all the bills, we'll be fine. If we don't pay tithes. But if we pay tithes, we're going to be $40 short or whatever. And I'm telling you, friends, as a testimony before God, you pay your tithes, the bill will be paid. Amen. We were there and we said, you know what, I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to pay it. And we've actually had an electric bill that they sent us a bill with zeros on the electric bill. You owe zero amount on the electric bill. I wish we'd framed it. Said, you owe nothing on this. How did we do that? They said, well, you're good. Don't worry about it. No electric bill. You tell me God can't pay your electric bill? No, there was a time I needed $100. Be faithful in tithes and offering. I needed $100. I didn't know how I was going to do it. And I was testifying to a guy. I said, I think to take this money from this place to the bank and deposit it. I said, my God is so big. If he wants to, I'd go to the bank parking lot. He'd have a $100 bill sitting right on the pavement for me. That's how big my God is. And you know, you're really enthused. You're really preaching that, you know. And you really feel great, you know. Say, my God's big. My God's great. He'll do that. And he said, oh, yeah, sure. Well, I'll leave there and I go to the bank. Mr. Preacher, man, that was really, really preaching on fire. My God's great. God can do it. And your mind began to think, boy, how am I going to get this? I'm going to get this bill paid. And as I start to pull into the bank, I see something shining on that bank parking lot. And I thought to myself, oh, surely not. Pulled up there, and God's my witness, a brand new crisp $100 bill sitting right on top of the table, on the pavement. Tell me God can't meet needs, amen?
Right.
And what happened is I spoke it with my lips, and I said, my God is big enough, he can do this, amen? A lot of times it's because we don't speak it enough. We've got to speak
right.
It from our lips and say, it will be so.
That's right.
It will be so. No, I remember of another testimony of talking, you know, with one of my guys at work. His wife couldn't have children. Could not. Been to the doctor's different thing. They said, there's no way you'll ever have babies. There's no way. But from my lips, I begin to speak and I say, no, you will have children. You will have children. I said, because the Scripture says, by His stripes, you were healed. And I ain't selling that man a car. Because he didn't have no need of anything bigger. Or it was a Jeep, rather. It was a Jeep Wrangler. Matter of fact, it was an 06 model Jeep Sahara. Sold him the Jeep Sahara because they could not have children. And we were doing the paperwork right there. I said, I'm going to ask you something. Let me pray with you right now. We're going to pray that you have to turn this thing back in and you have to get something because you're going to have a baby. And he said, man, we've already done it. I said, man, let me do it. And we'll just put this on God's shoulders. And he said, okay, all right, we will. His wife and I, we sat right there, had the paperwork sitting on the table, put my hands on their hands and prayed. And I said, God, I ask you to help them give these people their children.
That's right.
God's my witness. Well, guess what I sold here a couple months ago? A Durango. Because she had children. Or having children. Praise God.
Yeah.
We're not a big church. We're not a big, huge thing. So I'm going to tell you what, the dynamics are here, brothers and sisters.
Okay.
That's just my little circle, my little
right.
corner. That's not even counting your big corner.
Yeah.
That's just the little things I see God doing. Now I hear people talking about Brother Forrest Farmer and his feet being healed by a prophet of God. Being healed. Praise God for that. I praise God with them. We've got one right in our midst where God healed her feet just the same way.
Yes.
Same God. You know why? It's the same Lord God of Elijah. That's why.
That's right.
In our circles right here, we have testimonies that go on. A lot of times that we'll see God do something and we forget to talk about it. We forget to testify about it. And I'm the world's worst. A lot of times I'll see something happen and say, God, I'm going to give you the glory for that one. I just forget about it. Give you another just a real quick testimony. I like your testimonies because to me it's something that you can really feed on. I can remember one time I was with my dad. This is a couple of years ago. My dad and I, we were going down the road to his house, and my dad is a real short guy, old cowboy, and he's just dad. He's just one of them. God broke the mold when they made him. And we were going down the road, and I said, Dad, I said, I think we need to pray. And he said, what? What are you talking about? I said, I think we need to pray, Dad. We're going down the road, and he said, so pray. He just came around. I said, no. No, Dad. I said, I think something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I just kept feeling this burden come down to pray. And it's just real strong. And we're getting closer toward his house. And I said, Dad, I'm serious. I think we need to pray. I don't know what's going on, but we need to pray. And he said, well, we're almost at the house. I said, no, stop the truck right now. Stop. And he stopped the truck right there beside the road on Buck Creek Road. I said, we need to pray right now. Put my hands on the dash, and I said, oh, God. And I began to pour my heart out, brothers and sisters. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I needed to pray right then. I just began to pour my heart out and say, God, I don't know what this is. I don't know what's going on right now, but I feel heavy. And the more I began to pray, the more desperate I got. And I'm telling you, I began to really just pour. I said, God, what is this? I don't know what's going on. I didn't know it was like a rapture. What was going on? Sometimes you have an urgency to pray, and you don't even know why. And I just kept praying and seeking God out of desperation, and I felt really a peace come over me, like a huge weight just split off, and I didn't know what it was. And Dad's like, what just happened here, you know? He pulls up into the driveway, and my phone starts going off. And my older brother, he said, Daniel, and he was stirking, his voice was trembling. He said, Daniel, he said, I know you had to been praying a while ago. He said, I was going down the road, he said, in a semi-truck. He said, went straight toward me. He said, I'm telling you. He said, that vehicle picked up and moved all the way to the other side. He said, and it sat down inside the ditch. He said, I know you had been praying. I said, God's my witness. Dad's right beside me. He knows it's the truth. I said, I didn't know why we need to pray, but we need to pray. God can pick up a vehicle if he needs to and move it completely out of the way. I'm telling you what, God is God, brothers and sisters.
Yeah, that's right.
God is God. We need to look at a lot of these things and say, you know what? Why do we put up with a lot of the things we put up with? We got a lot of, like they testified of sicknesses trying to go to the church. The devil trying to put pains in your necks and your shoulders and different things. He wants to put all these things, and he wants you to make you think you have to put up with it. Amen.
Right.
He makes you want to think you have to deal with these things. He tries to put lying vanities in my mind over my back or different things. They're lying vanities. We're already healed. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
But the same God that can heal your body 10 times more, he can heal your soul. Amen?
Amen.
If God can pick up a truck and move a truck completely out of the way, how much more can he take this thing you've been fighting and pick that thing up and move it completely out of your life? Amen. God can do it. God can do those things. That's the kind of faith I want to see our young people raising up and saying, you know what? What do you believe? My God's real.
Amen.
That's what I wanted to say. My God's real. My God's got flesh on him. Amen. That little boy, he went to the Sunday school teacher, went to all these different people. He says, I want to see God. Can I see God? Oh, honey, you can't see God. He goes to the preacher man. He says, I want to see God. Can I see God? He says, you can't see God. He goes to the old fisherman going down the road, the little water. The little boy looks up and he says, I want to see God. Can I see God? That old man grabs him up, pulls him close to his bosom. He says, son, that's all I see is God. Amen? Because he has God on the inside.
That's right.
And when he has God on the inside, you can see God on the outside.
That's right.
You know, that's why a lot of times we don't see enough of God on the outside. We've got to get more of God on the inside. Amen?
That's right.
We've got to get more of him on the inside. And it's a fellowship. It's a joy. It's a love. It's not a burden. Can you imagine if I was to tell the kids, all right, young people, I want you to listen to me. We're going to Silver Dollar City right after service. All expenses paid, all drinks paid, all the ice cream you can eat. And they say, oh, man,
We got to go to Silver Dollar City. We got to eat ice cream. We got to drink all the drinks we want. I have to ride the rides. I have to do all these things. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're going. Such a burden. You know what? If I was to say, all right, kids, how many wants to go to Silver Dollar City after service? Woo-hoo! See how quick the hands went up? We're not going.
But it's a joy. It's a joy to go. You know why? Because it's fun. It's excitement. It's joy.
And I'm telling you what, that's the same way as serving God, amen? When you really get through, and I'm going to say something right here. This is one of the main things I really thought God really wanted me to show to you. You know what? One of the main reasons that we carry a lot of burdens we do? We pray, but we don't pray through. You know, you've got a burden. You've got something bothering you, and you pray about it, but you've got this huge burden on you, and you go to praying, but you never let that burden go. The same way I was talking about praying for my brother, even though my brother, I was praying. I prayed until I felt that thing rise up. And as soon as it rose up, I said, I'm good. I don't know what it was, but I can rest at ease now. God, come on the scene. That's the same thing that happens at all times whenever we go to pray for something. We don't pray until that thing rises up off of us. That's the truth.
That's right.
So if you want to know, you want to see prayer requests taking place, that's where it's at. It's believing God. But you've got to pray through to where you do believe God. Amen? It's like David says, oh, Lord God, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. I believe God, but God, help my unbelief. You know, I've got these things going. And something, I was going down the road on the way to work yesterday, and the Lord showed me this, and I really feel like it could be a warning. I was going down the road, and the Lord showed me, He said, many times people wait until they're laying on their backs before they get serious. Many times people will wait until something really goes wrong, and then they really get serious before
That's
God.
Right.
And God don't want you to have to do that.
That's right.
Humble yourself before the Lord, or He will humble you. Humble yourselves before the Lord. You say, you know what, God, I thank you for the good day you've given me. I thank you for the good vehicle you've given me to drive. I thank you for the gas you put in my car. You say, you know what, I'm not struggling with my finances at all. Thank you for it. Praise Him for it. No, whenever you've got good health in your body and you feel really good, thank Him for it.
Amen.
Praise Him for it. Amen. When you're able to get up and walk across the parking lot, praise Him for it. Say, God, I thank you for these legs. Because how many people actually in the world actually go through their life and think, I thank God I can walk today? They don't. Because they're thinking about the new next thing that's going to take place. What am I saying? Be thankful for the little things. Be thankful for your health. Be thankful for your back. I talked to a man today, broke his neck, and he's paralyzed. He says, man, he had tears in his eyes. He says, man, what I would do to be able to walk across that parking lot one more time. Be thankful for those things. I don't want God to have to lay any of us on our back.
Yeah.
I don't want God to have to cause harm to us. You know, that shepherd, he's got a staff. He's got a hook on one end, and he's also got a long rod on the other end. And he'll help those sheep all he can because he loves them. He cares about them. He wants to see them prosper. He wants to see them grow and bear the wool that they need. He wants to do these things. He wants to see them happy. He wants to see them loving their life. But the devil wants teenagers to think their life is so hard and it's so miserable. That shepherd wants them to enjoy life. He wants them to be happy. But if that sheep keeps going astray and it keeps going where it doesn't want to do, that shepherd will do something he don't want to have to do. He'll take that straight into that rod and he'll break its leg. And he'll put that sheep on its shoulder. And he'll pack that thing around. And that sheep will love that shepherd.
That's right.
And the shepherd does not do that to be a bad shepherd. He does not do that to be a mean person. No more than a parent wants to be a mean person when they spank their child. He does it because there's two ends of the staff. And he loves his sheep. Amen. But he's got that other hook whenever you fall into something. And a lot of times that sheep will be going about his own business, living his life as a sheep and trying to do good. He's trying to watch the shepherd and something happened. Somehow he made a mistake and he's fallen into this trap of a den and he's trapped. He can't get out. And that shepherd will actually walk up there and take the other end of that staff and he'll reach down and grab that sheep and pull that sheep out of that hole. He's got two ends of that staff. And one of them is to save us when we need help and the other one is to give us a whipping when we need a whipping. Amen.
That's right.
And I'm showing you, friends, this morning, through humility, if we will thank God for what we've got, Thank God for the life He's given us. Thank God for the finances He's given us. I'm telling you what, God will bless us.
That's right.
But if we don't, friends, we might get us a broke leg pretty soon.
Young people, I want you to really listen to them. Influence right now with the people around you. Going through, we got them all going through the age right now where you got the testosterone's going or the chemicals going, different things, and you influence is a huge thing. Amen. And we need to make sure we're careful who we're talking to. We need to be careful who we're spending our time with. Because either you will influence them, or they're going to influence you. And that's adults too. Amen.
True.
We need to be careful who we're spending our time around. That's leadership, friends. Knowing who we need to hang out with. One of the hardest things to do is to stop hanging around somebody because you know you have to.
Because if you don't, you're going to start falling down the same path they're going to go.
You're looking at somebody that's been there. Friends, I know what it's like. I started out on this road. I had 3 trucks by the time I was 17 years old. Bought and paid for 3 trucks. I worked all the time. I labored all the time. I was going down the right road. And I was going, they were talking about already making me a district manager over the Taco Bells. Taco Bell may sound like a funny job. When you get district manager, it's actually pretty decent money. I was going down the right road, but I started hanging around the wrong people. And those people began to pull me to the other side. And you know what they were? They were leeches. They were sucking my money. They were sucking my life. They were sucking my joy. And they'll be your friend as long as they can feed off of you. But once it gets to the point where they can't get no more, they're gone.
That's right.
Tell me what, we need to be careful who we hang around. And that's adults too.
That's right.
And all this is one of them services. They can sure make you where you people don't like you. That's another thing about a big church. You can say, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to them.
But that's absolutely the truth. We need to be careful who we hang around. And we need to make sure we're meditating on the right thing. Because I'm going to tell you something, there's always mercy, and then there'll be judgment. I've never spanked my children, ever, without trying to warn them.
That's right.
I'd warn them first. I'd give the best warning I can. And that's the way God is. God will always warn you. And I don't believe that the word judgment, but there's correction. Amen. Because God can correct you however He wants to. And your judgment actually happens at the house of God first. Is that right?
That's right.
That's where it happens at. Through the preaching of the Word. And I'm trying to end this service, but I just want to just put a couple more comments in here before I quit. Elijah, he was a man that God was with Elijah. Would you believe that?
Amen.
And whenever he went to Elisha and told Elisha, you got to start following me, the first thing Elisha had to stop doing is he had to quit hanging on to his family and start following Elijah and start doing what Elijah would do. And I imagine he began to walk like Elijah. He walked at him so, he looked at him so much. He began to act just like him, not because he wanted to, because he focused on him so much. But come a time when Elijah had to cross that water, he just took his mantle and smote the waters and just kept on going. He did this as a daily walk. But you know, when it comes to time for Elisha to start following those same shoes, he didn't cry and worry about what he's going to do. You know what he did? He picked up the same mantle that Elijah used and smote the waters. Amen? He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And you know, we've had some generals that's come off the scene. Our brother Brenham, Brother Hart, Sister Sue Davidson. We've had some generals that have passed off the scene. And they had testimonies. We've heard their testimonies. I'm going to tell you what, the same God's with us, amen. The same Lord God of Elijah is right here with us. And I'm telling you, I'm trying to leave this with you. The battles that you're fighting, don't think there's no way of overcoming these things. Because God knows exactly how to overcome that battle, amen. Whether it be temptation, whether it be financial stress, whatever it is. You confront it and you say, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I want deliverance. I want the Holy Ghost. I want to take charge of my life. Amen. I'm a young person and I want to be a leader. Amen.
that's a lot easier to be a follower than be a leader. I remember being in FFA, and that teacher said something one time I'll never forget. He said, "I want you boys to remember something. Anybody can be a punk."
That's right.
Anybody can be arrogant. Anybody can be out there and be a know-it-all. Anybody can do that. But it takes someone special of character. It takes someone special that can know that you have every reason in the world to tell them a piece of your mind because they were wrong in every count, but don't do it. You zip your mouth. Whenever you hear people talking about you and running you in the dirt, don't feed off those things, friends. You look at what the Word says about us. Amen? Let's just all stand. Now, I didn't say that because we got a bunch of punks in here. I believe we've got the best people on earth. I do, right here. I believe we've got the best young people here. Got the best youth leader here. We were at that service the other day, and I was looking over there, and I seen Brother Matthew sitting there right in the middle of the kids, and all of them just huddled around him. And I'm telling you what, my heart is... I thank God for that. That's my gift, amen. Do you say that same for you? Brother Matthew's my gift. Sister Brittany's my gift. They go there and they can go right there and be an influence for our young people. Let's take these things and try to look at what my heart's really striving at. Let's seek for leadership where we can be the best of the best, amen. This is an exciting. God guides us, no matter what level of life we're in, whether you're a young person or you're an old person, we still need leadership, amen. We need God to lead us, we need God to guide us. Because no matter what it is in your life you're striving for, the thing that's going to make the difference, listen to me now, it's God's blessing on it. If you want yourself to lose weight or gain weight or rip muscle, if you want to build finances, if you want to be better at your music, if you want to be better at your job, it don't matter what it is, it's God's blessing on it that's going to make the difference. And God can't bless something He's going to have to curse, amen. You conduct it in such a way and say, "God, I'm doing the best of my ability." God bless it. And if you're trying to lose weight and you say, "You know what, I want to lose weight, I want to do this thing," God's blessing is the best thing you'll have to help you with. You say, "God, I need your blessing." And I'm telling you what, then it's worship, amen. It's just simple.
You know, there's got to be a reason why Brother Branham preached the message leadership just slightly before he left. Well, all the ministry that he had for all the years that he had and all the things that God had performed in that ministry, when it got right down to the last few sermons, what I would think that it would be really important what he left with us right there at the last moment. Of course, we know the last one was communion because that's the last thing that Jesus did before he was crucified.
That's right.
And Brother Branham was in that channel like that. But he preached leadership. And in there he went to the rich young ruler. And that rich, I'm saying this because it takes more than just knowing that you're wrong. You can't just know you're wrong. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and wanted to know what he could do to have eternal life.
Right.
Brother Branham said he knew he didn't have it. That's why he came to ask him.
Right.
But you have to be, it has to be more than just knowing that you're wrong. It has to be more than just knowing that you're missing the mark. You have to come to leadership. You have to do more than just hear what the leadership says. You have to submit to that leadership. And that leadership is your protection.
Yeah.
It's here for your protection. And it's a gift from God. And what you have to realize is that it is from God. God uses man, but it's not the man.
Right.
Right? If it's the man, then you're going to wind up feeling manhandled. But if it's God, you're not manhandled, right? And that's the way it is in any of those things. There's a wisdom and there's a channel of inspiration that comes from God through that, and that is there for the protection. And we have to submit to that, surrender to it. And it's not that there's a lacking of leadership. There's leadership available. God has sent it. But for the most part, people just don't want it. They don't know how to accept it. They don't know how to receive it for being what it is. And they don't know how to surrender their lives to it and submit their lives to it. And if it's coming from God, it's just like the song we sung there. I'll go with Him through the garden. If He leads us through times, and He will lead us through times where He peels the hide completely off of you. He will take you to Gethsemane all the time, quite often.
Yeah.
Isn't that right, brother?
Yeah.
He does it quite often. You might not know anything about it. But as an individual, I'm saying that if he leads me to the garden, I may never say nothing to you about it. Brother Daniel goes through a rough time. He may never say anything about it. Maybe you don't say anything about it. But a real Christian believer realizes they've got to submit themselves to the leadership of God in their personal walk and in all levels that it comes. And sometimes he will absolutely take the hype completely off of you. But we realize that after you come into that spot, you realize that it's the blessing of God and it brings peaceful fruits of righteousness when it's over with. And I'm saying that because we live in an age where people just don't know how. They just don't know how to receive leadership. They don't want it. Everybody wants to be a voice of their own. Everybody wants to be a law to themselves.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, you'll never, I'll leave this with you. I don't want to try to come on behind Brother Daniel and preach, but I'll tell you, Brother Daniel preached today the same title of exactly what I would have preached this morning. But you'll never do any good. You can never be promoted unless that promotion comes from above.
That's right.
Because everybody wants to attain something themselves rather than to submit themselves to leadership until leadership places them higher. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. And we'll never be there. We'll never be there in God's kingdom until we learn how to submit and surrender to the leadership of His Word totally and completely. And I believe that I'm looking at a lot of folks who do, but I also know that the Holy Spirit challenges us every day to surrender more. Amen. Because the last time I looked in the message, He said, we will be so much like Him that we will be Him. Amen. And that's our goal. Brother Daniel and I were talking this morning, and all we as a minister, all we really want to know is that God is speaking to us and delivering what He would have through us. We don't need big this, we don't need big that, I don't need a big name.
Right.
All we want to know is that God speaks to our hearts, drops us in a channel of inspiration, and gives to this local body what it is that He wants us to have. And if it comes from Him, it'll do you good.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And if Brother Daniel and I can stay humble and let God do that, you won't feel manhandled. You'll never feel like that you've been pushed around or shoved around by man and manipulated by man to get you to be something man wants you to be.
Right.
But you'll always feel like that God has prospered you and edified you and that you're something more like God.
Right. Right.
And that's the way you want it. So
Amen.
We thank the Lord for this message this morning. Brother Tim, you and song together. We'll just bow our hearts in prayer just for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your words this morning. The words of encouragement, Lord. And Brother Daniel spoke on so many different aspects, Lord, that he could take a sermon on each portion, Lord, and speak on it. Such a vast topic, yet, Lord, it's so crucial in this hour that we live in. We realize it's always been this way throughout your ages, Lord, your prophets, different ones, Lord, they needed to surrender to your leadership. But there's a way and a channel that you can provide for success for each one and each day. And Lord, it's no different today. You've provided us a channel of inspiration, a channel of leadership, Lord, and by submitting to that, we know, God, that we'll come out on the other side as champions, Lord, and as successful. But Lord, I pray that you would come down and help your people, Lord, to understand how to recognize your leadership in our lives and how to surrender to it, Lord. We just pray, God, that you would go with us today as we leave. Lord, that you let this sermon this morning linger in the minds and the hearts of your people, Lord. That this week, God, they seek your face and ask you for further guidance on these matters. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. It's finally quit raining, but now it's starting to warm up. So, amen. We just thank the Lord for being with us and helping us in all the things, no matter whether it's rain or shine or whatever it is, he's still the same God.
Right.